Good morning. My name is Felicia, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Peter Vonley. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Peter Vonley, and welcome to the NB Private Equity Partners Investor Update Call. I'm joined today by my colleague, Paul Daggett. The presentation we'll be using today can be found on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. NBPE has performed well over the last year, and we're looking forward to sharing our results with you. Turning to page one of the presentation, NBPE, as you know, is a closed-end investment company providing investors with a diversified exposure to the private equity asset class and the opportunity for both capital gains as well as current income. NBPE is listed on the LSE and the Euronext, and is managed by NB Alternatives, the private equity arm of Neuberger Berman. NB Alternatives has over 26 years as a private equity investor. NBPE is focused on direct investing activities, where 57% of our NAV is in directs, and we expect that to increase. Those direct investments include both equity co-investments as well as direct yielding investments. We have a policy of paying a sustainable dividend. The dividend yield is currently 4.3% on share price and 3.5% on NAV. On a run rate basis, the dividend is currently 77% covered by the cash yield from our direct yielding investments. And we expect that dividend to be 100% covered by the cash yield from our yielding investments during the first half of this year. Turning to page two, NBP is managed by the private equity team of Neuberger Berman. Here at Neuberger Berman, we manage over $20 billion in commitments to private equity across primary fund investments, secondary investments, co-investments, and direct yielding investments. Now, while NBP only focuses on the last two of these strategies, NBP benefits from Neuberger's activities and networks in each of these areas. So let's look a little bit in more detail at 2013 and some of the highlights there. You can see that on page three of the presentation. We had three main goals in 2013 for NBPE, which were to grow the NAV, move to a majority of direct investments, and to pay a sustainable dividend, which was covered by income. We're pleased to report that we succeeded on all of these goals. Turning those down in a bit more detail, you can see that from a NAV perspective, our total return NAV per share increased by 11.9% during 2013 and 0.9% during the first 2 months of this year. We've had strong performance across our portfolio, particularly from our direct investments, with a significant number of realizations from our direct portfolio that you can see listed in the presentation. Even with these realizations, we've also continued to increase the percentage of our assets which are invested in these direct investments. Direct investments are now 57% of NAV at the end of February, which is up from 37% of NAV as of December 2012. That includes building our yielding portfolio with 30% of our NAV in direct yielding investments with a total yield of 10.6% and a cash yield of 9.4%. Now, this yielding portfolio provides run rate income of $16.5 million a year, which covers 77% of our annual dividend, and we, as mentioned, we expect this to be fully covered in the first half of this year. Now, that of course supports our strong dividend yield, which we'll discuss in more detail. In addition, our funds portfolio continues to perform and be cash generative, and 61% of the distributions we received during 2013 were from funds, while 90% of the capital that we invested during the year were into direct investments. So with those highlights, I'd now like to turn it over to Paul Daggett to discuss some of the financial highlights of NBPE. Paul?
Thank you, Peter. So turning to page four, Peter has just described a lot of the activity that's gone on during 2013 and the first 2 months of 2014. This is the end points of those two financial periods. First of all, looking at the year as a whole, you can see that private equity fair value has increased to $638 million as of December. So we have seen a great deal of activity in terms of new investments, in terms of divestitures, and in terms of valuation increases during the year, which we're pleased with. You can see that, as Peter said, we, as of the end of February, at 57% directs, up from 56% at year end. If you looked back to the end of 2012, that number would have been 37%. So you see our strategy of direct investments directly in action here. Looking at the NAV per share, as of 12/31/2012, that number was at 11.81, which increased to 12.81 during the year, and is at 12.71 as of the end of February. If you add back the dividends that we've either paid in 2013 or at the end of February of 2014, those numbers increased to 13.22 at the end of December 2013 and 13.34 at the end of 2014, so a further almost 1% increase in the first 2 months of the year. Looking at the diversification of the portfolio on page 5, on the left, again, what this pie chart really highlights is that now a majority of the portfolio is in direct yielding, which is the largest single asset class in the portfolio. And when you include co-investments, it's more than half of the portfolio in total. On the right, we've told you over a series of the most recent calls how we have focused on North America, that we do have a tactical over-allocation to North American investments. We continue to believe that this is the most attractive market to be investing in private equity currently. We do have exposure to European investments and rest of world, which is Latin America and Asia. But as you'll see when we get to talking about some of the individual investments, we are still focusing the majority of our investments in North America, and we believe this has served us well, as you will see from the investment results. On page 6, we look at where we've tactically allocated capital over the past few years. On the pie chart on the left, you can see that 61% of fair value has been invested since 2010. So it is still a relatively young portfolio. And when you look at the pie chart on the right, which is a breakdown of that 61%, the capital we've invested over the last 4 years, you'll see that 28% of that fair value was invested in equity co-investments, 44% was invested in direct yielding investments. So again, as we've moved from a fund-centered portfolio, which really are now yielding a large amount of cash, we've been investing at a sensible pace into these direct investments. On page 7, we're highlighting how our portfolio has been in terms of new investments and realizations. So first of all, if you look at the chart on the left, this looks at 2013. You'll see that we contributed $151 million to 24 direct investments, which is included in those, the dark blue number and the light brown number, equity co-investments and direct yielding investments. As Peter said, only 10% of the capital we invested in new investments during the year was into fund investments, so a very small part of that. Whereas the bar on the right looks at the distributions during the year, you'll see that the largest number there, 61% of the total, is from fund investments. So that fund investment portfolio is very much funding direct investments at this point in time. That continued if you look at the right-hand chart, where you'll see we made seven new investments in direct yielding and equity co-investments so far during 2014, whereas only a very small amount of capital, $500,000, was invested into fund investments. Slide 8 looks at the distributions in a little bit more detail. So what we have here is a quarterly breakdown of where the distributions came from in our funds. And I think there's a couple of themes that you can see here. First of all, there tends to be a greater amount of realizations towards any given year end than you see at the beginning. And that's very much in action here. As the private equity market has become, I think, more and more active during the year, you'll see that those distributions have really increased. But what you'll also see if you look at the breakdown in our numbers is that we've seen a greater deal of realizations coming from that direct portfolio. So at the beginning in the year, really the distributions were coming from fund investments, in particular special situations investments, whereas in Q3 and Q4, you've seen quite a large amount of realizations from both the direct yielding and the equity co-investment portfolio, which is really a function of that being obviously a larger and larger part of the portfolio and it becoming more mature. Again, if you look at the bar on the far right, which is 2014 year-to-date distributions, then again you'll see that theme has continued, where we've had a number of realizations in the direct yielding portfolio and the equity co-investment portfolio, and that has led to a very large amount of distributions to us in the year, which we're pleased with and have yielded very good results to the portfolio. One thing we do every 6 months is we analyze the underlying company performance metrics. So what we do is we look at the 50 largest buyout companies in the portfolio, and we analyze how they're valued and how they've grown. And what you'll see here is we're able to analyze 37 of those companies based on the traditional buyout metrics, which are on a trailing EBITDA basis in terms of valuation and in terms of leverage. And we're also able to look at the revenue growth and EBITDA growth of those companies. 13 additional companies you have to value on different metrics, whether these are in financial services or power generation or other specialized areas. So they are excluded from the analysis on the left. But on the left, what you'll see is that the weighted average valuation multiple is 10.5 times last 12 months EBITDA. The average leverage is less than 50% of that capital structure at 5 times LTM EBITDA. I think probably the most interesting parts of the analysis show you that this growth in the portfolio has been very real. The revenue growth of 16.5% of those 37 companies, and the EBITDA growth actually larger than the revenue growth at 18.2%. So it has been a very positive year for those 37 companies that we're able to analyze. What we do on page 10 is really break this down into the underlying industries. And by the way, on page 30 of this presentation, if you have a chance to look at it afterwards, you'll see these metrics broken out for our co-investment portfolio. So that includes 33 companies in our co-investment portfolio, most of which are included in this analysis. So it allows you to look at the co-investments versus other areas of the portfolio. In this industry breakout, what you'll see is that the largest areas really are in the portfolio that we analyze, those 37 companies, is business services, energy services, healthcare, technology. You'll see that those growth rates varied. Energy services was by far the largest. The six companies in that energy services sector, they have grown by 72% based on revenue, by 95% based on EBITDA. And if you look at the underlying companies in that in those six analyzed, one of them is very small and really insignificant. So you're left with five companies, four of which grew at double-digit rates, and three at extremely large rates, which leads to this overall number being by far the largest in the industries analyzed. The other industries tend to be, I think, a little bit more predictable in their revenue and EBITDA growth. So if you look at healthcare, for example, which is a large contributor, then the underlying six companies in that portfolio have been very consistent, somewhat slower growth, but still producing nice returns over time. So there is obviously, as you look at the different industries, very different growth rates and very different levels of volatility within those underlying companies. One thing I should say is that on the co-investment portfolio, and when we get to this, we can talk about this a little bit more, but we do really tend to look for recurring revenue, stable businesses, and I think that shows through in the statistics if you do get a chance to look at page 30 of this presentation in addition. So moving on to the co-investment portfolio on slide 11, what you'll see is that this is the part of the portfolio which we invest alongside financial sponsors into direct buyout investments. This is now 27% of the total net asset value of NBPE. That's 43 equity co-investments alongside 30 different sponsors. And the average age of these co-investments is just over 3 years at this point. So it is a portfolio that's beginning to reach maturity. And you saw the effects of that on the earlier slides when we saw liquidity already coming from this portfolio. 2013 was a very busy year. I think we still remained very disciplined, investing in a small minority of the transactions that we look at. We made 11 new investments totaling just under $30 million during the year, and we made two additional equity co-investments in January and February of the year. Importantly, we're also beginning to see those divestitures that I mentioned. So we saw $33.4 million of liquidity coming from this portfolio in 2013 and an additional $10 million from a realization of a company we only invested in 2013 where we received the funds in January of 2014. And in terms of performance, again, just one highlight here, which is that 85% of the fair value in this portfolio is held at or above cost. So we feel very good that it's performing well, and we hope to be able to continue the realizations that we've seen in 2013 and early in 2014. Slide 12 and 13 look at the equity co-investment portfolio in a little bit more detail. We looked at a number of these in the past with you, so I will not cover the investments we previously covered. But one thing I will do is just say that of the 13 different investments, you can see how diversified we are, and you can really see the scale of the platform that we have in action. There is 13 investments with 12 different sponsors, very diversified across industries, with energy and actually consumer and retail being the two largest concentrations, with three investments each and two in business services. You'll see that also these are a large number of different types of transactions, whether they are buyout or growth equity, whether they're carve-outs or new buyouts or take privates. We really do have a very diverse portfolio that we put into place over the last year. So turning to page 13, there are four investments that we've not covered on previous calls. I'll give you a few words on each of those. And obviously, if there are any questions on those or any of the other investments, then I'd be happy to talk about them. First of all, Black Knight is a software systems and services company that helps to automate mortgage origination, servicing, and default. It is an interesting transaction in that really it was a corporate partnership to merge two very large businesses, which had great synergies and obviously a much larger market share when they were merged. So this was a public company partnering with Thomas H. Lee. We were able to partner with Thomas H. Lee in turn to invest in this transaction. It is a company which is going to have a very great market share. A large part of the business is very stable and growing, and we feel that this is a strong recurring revenue business, which we feel very good about investing in. Brickman is a leading provider of landscape and maintenance services, so another large cap transaction. This one is alongside KKR. And as I mentioned, we look for strong recurring renewal rates or revenue rates in the businesses that we invest in. This has almost 90% renewal rates in its business. So this is a business that provides these landscape and maintenance services to large businesses with distributed offices or universities. And obviously, these tend to be fairly sticky businesses, and this is a business that's grown over time, quite often really through M&A and through acquisitions, and we think KKR has a business plan to be able to continue that growth. Kick Custom Products is a company which we've talked about in the past because we have a private debt investment in this, but CI Capital Partners, who we partner with on this transaction, was looking to make an acquisition which they would need additional equity for. So in some ways, similar to Black Knight, that it's equity being raised to fund an add-on acquisition for a company. In this case, the company is best known for its private label bleach and household products. It also had a business that manufactures dry and liquid pool and spa products, and they were looking to grow that through an acquisition from a large public company. To do that, as I mentioned, they needed additional equity, and we partnered alongside them. Importantly, as we've often mentioned, what this means is this is a company we already knew extremely well and were able to invest in because we'd followed it for so long and because we knew the general partner so well. And we feel that we got a very attractive entry valuation, and this should be a somewhat shorter hold because it is a midstream investment alongside the GP. Finally, WTG. Is the most recent equity co-investment we've made. This is alongside AEA, another firm we know extremely well. This is a carve-out from a business that Siemens owned that makes technology, equipment, and services for water treatment in industrial and municipal applications. It effectively makes filters and membranes, which are used in the life cycle management of water from intake into a plant to filtration, purification, and then either reuse or sending it back out into rivers or oceans. This is used by the food and beverage, pharma, microelectronics, oil and gas, power, and of course, drinking water. So a very diverse range of uses, and again, a business with a very large market share. So, you know, overall, I think that gives you a little bit of color into what we've been doing. One thing I should also mention on page 13 is that Digital Insight, shown there second from left, you can see has changed on the very bottom line to realize this was an investment we made in July 2013, which was acquired. The announcement was in December, and the cash came back to us in January. So obviously one thing that does illustrate is that the private equity markets are extremely liquid at the moment. We're very pleased with the result, and obviously it's a very much shorter hold period than we expected, but we did make a very good return on that investment. Moving on to page 14, the direct yielding portfolio. Again, you can see that it's been a very active year for the portfolio. At this point in the corporate private debt investments, we have $145 million of fair value with a 9% cash yield and a 10.6% total yield. Most of this, as you can see, three-quarters of it is floating rate debt, of which 36% has a 1% LIBOR floor, 54% has a 1.25% LIBOR floor. So, again, we feel that we are in a good position with the amount of floating rate debt that is in the portfolio. And just to see, look at some of the metrics, again, you can see in general this is very conservatively leveraged, and we feel very good about the position we have in the capital structure, especially given the yields we're able to generate on this area of our portfolio. On the healthcare credit side, these are investments we make through the MB healthcare credit program. We at this point have $40 million of fair value with a cash and total yield of 10.8%. So again, a very nice yield in an area that we feel we have a particular advantage in the market through the team with the expertise that we have in this space. On 15, again, we're looking at the investments we've made over the past year, and the majority of these we've spoken about in the past with you on the corporate debt investment side. So again, I won't cover investments we covered in the past, except to say that, again, there's two realizations here. Digital Insight, I already mentioned. We had an equity co-investment and a direct yielding investment in this company. So obviously that was realized alongside the equity. Parsley Energy was another investment we made in October 2013. This is a senior secured loan in an oil and gas E&P business, which refinanced out again early in this year. So it has been a somewhat earlier realization than we might have expected. The three investments we have not covered in the past, I'll just very quickly give you a few words on each. Those are Taylor, P2, and WTG. Taylor is a business that we have actually covered in the past because, again, we have an equity co-investment in this investment. This is a consumer and food service business. They make basically scales, thermometers, timers used in kitchens and bathrooms. This was an acquisition financing again, so similar to two of those co-investments where they were looking for additional equity to finance a relatively large acquisition, in this case, accessories for the wine and beverages markets. Because we knew the company so well, it's one that we felt very comfortable with the acquisition plan, and we feel that it's a very interesting investment that really illustrates our access in the market. P2, again, is an investment that we have covered in the past, but this is a new investment into the business. This was previously owned by Vista Equity Partners. Advent purchased this business from them. We had participated in the sub-debt of the business under Vista, and when Advent acquired this business, we participated in the new second lien debt which they issued. So this is a business that makes software and data solutions for servicing the upstream oil and gas industry, basically software that manages land management, accounting, environmental, health and safety, a very pervasive business with 49 of the 50 largest public U.S. oil and gas companies using their software. So again, has a very strong recurring revenue a very long history under private equity, and we feel good about the debt. Finally, WTG, I already talked about, was a company we made an equity co-investment in. We also made a second lien debt investment in. So again, it really illustrates the power of the platform, being able to make both of those where we like, both the equity and the credit. We're able to participate in both sides of the capital structure. Final piece on the investment portfolio. On page 16, just to look at the healthcare credit investments. Again, this has been a very active part of the portfolio in recent months. You can see that we made four investments here in 2014. And from a very high level, you can see that the yields continue to be very attractive in this space, in the 10 to 11% range in general. One of them is a little bit lower, but in three of the cases, I should say that we do have either convertible debt or we have warrant coverage, which really gives us upside in the equity as well. So although these yields appear to be high, they can actually be somewhat higher if the business does perform well, because we do have that exposure to the equity in these businesses. Three of them are similar to what we've seen in the past, which are really new debt issued for general corporate purposes or to allow them to fund acquisitions. Two of them are basically branded and generic drug businesses, one in the arthritic pain area very specifically, another one which makes 75 different products in the pain relief, dermatology, cough and cold type of medication. One of them shown here is more of a medical device company which makes devices that measure blood glucose levels, anticoagulation levels in blood. But that's the medical diagnostic company, the specialty drug pharma company, and the specialty PCP company. And then finally, we did make a second lien debt company investment, I think this is an interesting one because this is one where we were able to work with the private debt team. So it's two different areas of our business working together. This was a buyout by Madison Dearborn and a company which makes a product for respiratory distress in newborn babies, which is really a standard care in most U.S. neonatal intensive care businesses. And this is a second lien we participated in to help fund that buyout. So, again, it just shows, again, the power of the platform and the different areas of our business working together. And I think with that, I will hand it back over to Peter to talk about the capital position.
Thanks, Paul. As you can see on page 17, NBPE continues to maintain a strong capital position. We currently have $70 million in cash and our full $200 million credit facility available to us as well. With the move of the investment portfolio to a higher percentage of direct investments and having less of our portfolio invested through programs with unfunded commitments, we expect to have the commitment coverage ratio continue to be less relevant for us. NBP has performed well, as we've talked about, over the last year, but frankly, our cash balance has diluted the overall returns to NBPE shareholders. And we continue, of course, to believe it's critical to maintain a strong balance sheet with NBPE. But with unfunded commitments being less of an issue for us over time, we believe it's possible to maintain that strong capital position and also have a higher average investment level. So we believe that having an investment level rather than 103% that we're at today, that's a bit closer to 120%, is a level that we think would be prudent and in the interest of shareholders. Turning to our dividend policy on page 18, we, of course, pay a sustainable dividend to our shareholders with the cash yield generated from our yielding investments. Those yielding investments have a cash yield of 9.4%. As mentioned, those generate $16.5 million of run rate cash income, which 77% covers our annual dividend on a run rate basis today. And as we've said, we expect to be fully covered on a run rate basis during the first half of this year. The dividend yield, once again, 4.3% on share price or 3.5% on NAV. On page 19, you can see both our share price performance as well as NAV performance of the last 12 months. During that period, our share price has increased by 16.8%, and our NAV per share, including dividends, has increased by 12.8%. And you can see our NAV per share, including dividends, $13.34, and the NAV per share, excluding dividends, $12.71. On page 20, you can see the progression for our ZBPs, which continue to trade at a meaningful premium with a GRY of 3.8% as well. So on page 21, you can see a bit more about the trading liquidity for NBPE. In the first 2 months of this year, 2.9 million shares of NBPE traded hands. That included both on-exchange and off-exchange trading. On-exchange, almost 19,000 shares per day were traded on average, and then if you include the over-the-counter trades, almost 69,000 shares per day on average traded hands. Importantly, the Board of Directors has once again approved an extension of our share buyback program. Now, while we're not currently utilizing that program, we do think it's a useful tool to have available to the company. Also, as previously announced, Lehman Brothers during December of 2013 sold its remaining shares in the company and is no longer a shareholder of NBPE. So in summary, we believe NBPE offers a compelling investment opportunity with a manager with a strong long-term track record, a portfolio of majority direct investments and continuing to increase those direct investments into equity co-investments and direct yielding opportunities. We have a sustainable dividend yield of 4.3% share price to 3.5% NAV. We're also continuing to take actions to enhance shareholder value through our strong and consistent NAV growth, building of our direct investment portfolio, and through our dividend policy. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions that investors may have.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one for any questions. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, that is star, then the number one for any questions. Your first question comes from the line of Ian Schuller with Oriole Securities.
Good morning, Peter. I just wanted to ask about the debt investments, the pipeline you're seeing there, and also how pricing is looking. I mean, do you think pricing is at a floor? Do you expect yields to move up a bit this year? And are you still seeing some good deal flow?
No, thanks, Ian. We are seeing a lot of deal flow. It's a robust credit market. The hard part is not seeing deals. It's actually, finding deals that one wants to do. It's normally high quality companies. The issue is oftentimes more where the total quantum of leverage being put on the companies or the pricing of that debt. Now, that's the good news for us is that because our platform is very robust, because we have both relationships with over 200 different private equity firms where we're an investor from our fund of funds platform at Neuberger, plus all the diligencing thousands of funds a year. Combine that with having a $100 billion fixed income business inside Neuberger, we're well situated in the value chain to see all of the second lien and mezz opportunities that we can. So have a very wide funnel on those areas. And we're continuing, as you see, to deploy capital, including even so far this year. But it's harder. It was easier 18 months ago than it is today. But it is still possible to find interesting opportunities where we think we're being appropriately compensated for the risk. In terms then of the pricing is a little bit narrower. You can see that the more recent deals that we're doing are at yields that are a little bit narrower than deals we were doing a year ago on average. But we still think we're being appropriately compensated there. Importantly, as Paul mentioned, most of the investments that we're making on the corporate debt side are in second liens that are floating rate securities. So they're typically, whether it's L plus 800 or so, but with 100 basis point LIBOR floor, Clearly, if you have if rates begin to rise and go above that 1% floor, we'll then see an increase in the yield that we're being paid. And so we think it's actually a good thing to have a meaningful percentage of the portfolio in those floating rate securities. We would expect, though, to continue to be able to deploy capital. One of the issues, though, that we've faced is actually not just the deployment, but also the realization pace. So you've seen that we've had some nice realizations out of that direct yielding portfolio, and you know, frankly, that's meant that we've had it's pushed back a little bit in time, the amount and the time until we're fully covering our dividend because of those quick turnarounds or quick realizations that we've had. But we continue to see robust deal flow, and we expect to be able to continue to deploy capital in that area effectively.
Thanks, Peter.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one. Your next question comes from the line of Mark Ambrose with Jefferies.
Hi, Peter. Where you refer to on slide 7, the analysis on distributions and an average uplift of 28%, it says you've analyzed about $50 million worth of distributions. Are those the largest distributions, or just the ones where you have that information or it's relevant? What's the sort of back?
Great question, and it's mostly all of those, but it's very much, we focused our analysis efforts on the largest distributions. So those are really the ones that are the largest distributions that we had. And as you can imagine, in the portfolio such as ours, right, where we have the direct investments, but then we also have the older, highly diversified funds portfolio, you can imagine that from the realization events that we have, from that there's a relatively long tail, right, from those older fund investments where it's lots of very small positions that aggregate up to a meaningful amount of money, but each individual one is individually less relevant, from that portion of the portfolio.
Thank you.
So it's where we have the information, and it's a materially sized distribution.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one. There are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. And if any other issues come up, please feel free to contact any of us from the Neuberger team. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.